Clapping our hands, we sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Clapping our hands, clapping our hands, we sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Clapping our hands, now you go. Hallelujah, clap, clap, hallelujah, hallelujah. Clapping our hands, hallelujah, wait the clap, hallelujah. Hallelujah, clapping our hands, joining our hands, we sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, joining our hands, joining our hands, we sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, joining our hands, clap, hallelujah, 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 joining our hands, hallelujah. Hallelujah, joining our hands, raising our hands, we sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, raising our hands, raising our hands, we sing hallelujah, raising our hands, hallelujah, 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 raising our hands. Hallelujah, 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 raising our hands, taking his hand, we sing hallelujah, taking his hand, taking his hand, we sing hallelujah, taking his hand, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, taking his hand. Hallelujah, 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 taking his hand. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, good morning. I sound hot in the mic. Am I hot there, Frankie? Okay, I think we're burning some people out here. Glad to be with you here this morning. Today is a special day, okay? Why is it a special day? Who's going to tell me the answer? Baptism. Mary Ann. Baptism. What's that? Baptism. Baptism, right? So following the service here today at 2 o'clock, we're going to be heading over to the Baptist church, and we're going to have a baptism service. Now, I don't know about you, but there hasn't been a baptism service I've ever gone to where I wasn't completely blessed. We're going to have our candidates get up today and tell their story, their journey, before they get baptized. And it's going to be a wonderful time. I encourage you to come out and support the family, support those who are being baptized today. One last thing. We have our food pantry, and we are in need. When you look at the bulletin, you take it home today, everything that's in red is of an urgent matter that we could surely need help with. We ask that that you look at that and consider giving to the food pantry. Let's prepare our hearts to take the offering now. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for this moment, oh God. We thank you for this hour. Lord, we pray, oh God, that as we join our hearts together, Lord, we believe by faith that you're visiting us, oh God, that your presence is here, that, Lord, you want to speak to us, that you have something in mind for each and every one of us. And we pray, oh God, that you would begin the work, Lord, of shedding any concerns, any weights that we have had and carried with us into this morning from the week, maybe from the month. Lord, we entrust them into your care. Lord, free us to be able to participate in worshiping you. Free us to be a people who have our ears open and our eyes as well. How are we doing this morning? Good. So we're going to continue in our series, The Power of Compassion. And this morning I want to talk to you about the sticker price, the cost. You know, I've only been here a year. This September will be a year. And there's still a lot of things that you don't know about me. Still a lot of things I don't know about you either. So, but the more we spend time together, the more we learn about one another. You know, there was a time as a consumer that that I was strictly a bottom line consumer. What I mean by that is when I would go to the store, price was all that mattered. The cheaper, the better. All right? And so I went about that way for a good long time. But then there came a time when I began to grow up, or should I say, I began to mature. And it had a correlation, it had a connection. There was a time where I was going from becoming a plumbing mechanic to taking on the role of being an estimator. And that brought a whole nother level of education to me in my trade. I started to learn not just about doing the work, but actually presenting the work and the quality and the precision that would go behind every job that we would do. And I would be able to present it that way to people. And I have to say, I'm not patting myself on the back, but I think I did pretty good at what I was doing at the time. I started being able to present to people that, you know, because at the time we were Hull's Apple Plumbing and Heating in Syosset. And we were known as one of the most expensive plumbing companies in that area. And I would tell, you know, they would tell me as soon as I walk in there, you're one of the most expensive companies in the area. I was like, I know that, but let me tell you why. And I'd go on to tell them just why we warranted the price that we did when it came to doing the work. We were there on time. If we were running late, we called you. We went out of our way to do the job right. If there was anything that needed to be handled and we had to come back, we were as quick to come back as we were to take the final check and walk out of your house. So they began to see that there was a quality and a dependability on our company and what we were able to present to them. And quite often, I would find out that, no, you weren't the cheapest, but we went with you. We went with you. And that was because there was a belief that there was something behind what we were offering them, that the quality of our work was worth the cost that they were paying. And I began to learn that. That changed my thinking. So when I went to the store, I saw the price, but then I started to do a little research. I actually started using my head when I went shopping. And I would start to research and find out why this product cost as much as it did, and I would end up spending more money than I originally planned because I saw that the manufacturer was offering me a product that was worth it. It was tried, it was proven, and it was worth it. And so it just delivered. And that practice carried on throughout my life and still does today. So I want to say to you today, what does real compassion look like? All right? And real compassion, if it's real, should deliver. It has something to offer, and it has a way of changing people's lives. Now, I want to kind of step into and review a little the life of Paul for a moment this morning. I want to have his life in review, and I want to say to you that Paul was a man who was in desperate need of God's compassion. He may have not have thought that, because see, Paul was a dead man walking, but he didn't realize it, or should we say a dead man riding. If you know anything about Paul's life, he was commandeered, he was signed a task by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were issued him a letter, and he went from city to city, town to town, pursuing those who called themselves Christians, those who were followers of Christ, those who were believers in Jesus. And so he went about persecuting and harming, arresting, until one day God showed his compassion to him. And interestingly enough, how did God do that? He knocked him off his horse. You say, how is that compassionate? I mean, I'm not making a correlation yet. Knocked him off his horse, and then he blinded him. Basically, he traumatized Paul's life, shook him to his very core, but then he healed him. He assigned the task to a man named Ananias to go to a place, to a street called Straight, to visit this man. And Ananias had his apprehensions about going to display compassion to this man because he was known for being vicious He was known for being someone who hated those who believed in Christ. But he went, and he prayed over him, and God healed him. God's compassion overwhelmed Paul, and it changed his life. Changed his life. He would never be the same again, all because of God's compassion. So when we go to the scriptures this morning, we catch up to Paul later on as we look up 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 24 to 28. As we look at it together, you're going to see a man whose life has been transformed in so many ways. And he's going to give a description of the very things that he was going through in his life because of now his faith, the faith that he once hated and persecuted. Now he is on the other end of the spectrum. And this is what he says about his life and his experiences. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one, 39. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from my Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. You're getting the impression that quite often he was in danger. In toils and hardships, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, in other words, on top of all that, there is the daily pressure on me and on me of my anxiety for all the churches. That was all the responsibility, all the people that he was influencing and feeding the gospel and sharing faith with, and the churches that he established, all that was upon him. What a load. What a load. All these things are happening, and as I said to you last week, that he was a man who was chased from city to city. You have a man who was the hunter who becomes the hunted. And I want to say to you, all because he received the compassion of God, changed the direction of his life. And one could say that's some cost to receiving this gift of compassion from God. But Paul was a man who, if you sat down with him and spoke to him, he would say that it was worth the cost. Because of what he received, the quality of God's love, the knowledge of God's love, completely changed his thinking and how he would perceive other people and how he would go about his life. He would go on to say things like he wished that he was accursed. Cursed for the sake of his own people, the Jews, his kinsmen, his brothers. If only they could receive the same compassion he received. If they could only receive the same help that he had received. Accursed. He went on to say he desired to provoke them to a jealousy so that they might consider the Christ that he knew. I mean, one could say this man was asking for trouble. He was looking for it. And all because God changed his life, gave him something he didn't have, something he needed, and that was the compassion of God. Transformed him. Continually worked in his life. Continually touched his life. God's care continually nurtured him through his journey. And even though he went through such great hardship, God was producing in him a man who would be greatly used and, above all things, who would not be consumed, but he would actually share everything that he was going through and his experience and his relationship with Christ. He goes on to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. God was doing such a work in him, caring for him, and then keeping him and using him so that every place he went, he had something to offer people. Had something of quality that would change a person's life. And he was willing to pay the cost. Now, I don't know about you, but I think a lot of times we live in a world where people don't understand the cost of things, as I once did not understand the cost of things. So to venture out and to say, I would be willing to pay that price, becomes a challenge for many individuals when they don't understand. But what you have is you have a man who fully is understanding, and he is bringing the message. And because of the affliction, because of the suffering, because of the price tag that he was willing to pay, he had something to offer others around him. The suffering and the affliction and the compassion that he had received from God through all his journeys and all his trials gave him something of great worth to present to someone else. So in some ways, like myself, he had something that he could present to people. People saw what he was enduring, and I want to say to you, one of the biggest things that made an impact, that caused the church to grow early on in the first century, is because other people saw the willingness of Christians to suffer for what they believed in. Their blood, the blood of martyrs, the people who sacrificed their lives and suffered for Christ, actually gave proof to all those around them that this was something worth living for, but more so, even worth dying for. It was empowering. It was proof. Their faith delivered something of worth. People saw something that they would not see in other people. That this Jesus, this God, was worth dying for. Because of his great compassions and his mercies had transformed their lives. It was driving Paul. It would drive him right into Rome. It would drive him right into the hands of the Roman emperor. It would lead to his earthly demise. A great cost, but Jesus was worth it, and Paul went with it. Paul went with it, and his desire was to share that compassion with other people. His desire to go to Rome was not a fear of death, but he honestly desired to present his case to the emperor, to share Christ. Paul was said by a governor, are you trying to get me to believe what you believe? I think it was Agrippa. I mean, Paul took every opportunity, thought about every person that he came across. He had an opportunity to share the compassion. And my point to you today is that the cost was not too great because he knew what it did in his life. And I think each of us in some way can connect to. You know, Pastor John prayed this morning. He encouraged us before we closed in prayer in our time for us to think back of when we came to faith, when we had that moment where Christ came into our lives and impacted our lives. And I sat there and I thought about that experience I had some 42 years ago. 42 years. Now, the years are nothing, but the God is something, okay? And the transformation that he's been able to make in each of our lives, each of us can connect to that moment. We have experienced the love of God, the compassion of Christ, that he would forgive us and make a change in our lives and never leave us to be the same, but to be different. Well, Paul goes on to take his experiences and his faith and his experience of compassion and the expression of that, and he gives it to those who are in need. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to read verses 3 to 7. And Paul goes on to say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in his comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And we'll come back to that in a second. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. But I want to go back to verse 6 where he says, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Here's a man that endured everything that we read earlier, the shipwrecks, the beatings, the stoning. For what? For those who were to come later on, for people like you and I, for people that he would be experiencing in every town and every city he would go into. I think it's tremendous when you think about it, that someone would do that for you and I, that they would endure such hardship because they wanted us, he wanted us, all those who have gone before us, wanted us to experience the compassion of God. That it wasn't just for him, but it was for everyone he could come in contact with. And those afflictions that he had taken on gave expression to him to be able to share what God has done in his life. And then those who came in would begin to share the same sufferings because the one who called them was worthy. He was worth it. He was worth it. And I want to say to you, when he looks at us, that's the way he looks at us. There was a point in time when he looked at each one of us in this room and still does to this day and says, they are worth it. Your life is worth it. You're worth the cost. That's why Christ paid the price. That's why he called people who would follow him in obedience, who would pay that same price by living their lives out and suffering for Christ, so that they would bring something of worth to the next generation and the next generation. And you and I today, we have that opportunity in everything we do, not just in this room, but wherever we go and the things that we do and say, to present a Christ of compassion to the next generation, to great many who are falling through the cracks, who don't know him. We have that opportunity. And why? Because souls are worth it. They're worth the cost. Just as you and I at one time and still are worth the cost to Christ, so is Saul. It was a risk for Ananias to go to him, but God prompted him. I would say God pushed him. Go. Go. Last week we spoke about Mark, you know, the failure. He was worth it. God wasn't going to just let go of him. Neither was his cousin Barnabas would let go of him. Peter and the rest of them, regardless of their abandonment, regardless of them walking away, running away from Christ in his time of need, were worth it. And God looks at you and I the same way. Regardless of what's going on in our lives, what we're succeeding at or failing in, he looks at us and he has great compassion on us. And he says, you are worth it. You are worth it. Now go and tell others that they are worth it as well. Because if you and I don't, who will? But a lot of times that means us coming out of our comfort zones. And we in many ways, we have, because of our culture, it's very easy to do, we have designed these little comfort zones that we have. Places where we have designed them and they fit our lives, and it really sometimes takes a doing to get out of them to be able to step out and touch someone else's life, to minister to someone, to share faith, to bring something of worth to them. Sometimes we may feel like, I can't do that. That's just, I don't know, I don't feel comfortable. What I want to say to you, God would like to call us forward and use us, no matter how comfortable it is. And sometimes we may feel like it may not jive with the rest of Christendom around us, you know? Well, I could do that, but I don't know if that's acceptable if I speak to that person or I spend time with that individual. What will people think of me? When all along God is thinking of that other person. And if you and I don't go, who will go? Who will go? And it means coming out of those comfort zones, maybe feeling uncomfortable at what we're about to do or what we're about to say. But that person, that other individual, is worth it. This morning before we go, I want to read a story from a book called A Life Beyond Amazing. David Jeremiah, in the chapter on A Life of Compassion, he calls this story A Story to Remember. I'm going to call it the story of Bill and the deacon. And the story goes as this. Bill was a wild-haired, T-shirt-wearing, barefoot college student. He was esoteric and brilliant. And while attending college, he became a Christian. Across the street from the campus was a well-dressed, very conservative church that wanted to develop a ministry to the students at the college, but they were not sure how to go about it. One day, Bill decided to go into the church. He walked with no shoes, jeans, a T-shirt, and wild hair. The service had already started, so Bill started down the aisle looking for a seat, but the church was packed, and he couldn't find one. By now, people were looking a bit uncomfortable, but no one said anything. Bill got closer and closer to the pulpit, and when he realized there were no seats, he just sat down right in the aisle on the carpet. By now, the congregation was really uncomfortable, and the tension in the air was thick. About this time, from way at the back of the large church, a deacon was slowly making his way towards Bill. The deacon was in his 80s, with silver gray hair and a pocket watch, a godly man who was very elegant, dignified, and walked with a cane. It took a long time for the man to reach the boy. The church fell utterly silent, except for the clicking of the man's cane. All eyes were focused on him. You could hear anyone breathing. You couldn't hear anyone breathing. And the people were thinking, the minister can't even preach the sermon until the deacon does what he has to do. The elderly man reached Bill and paused, and then he dropped his cane on the floor and with great difficulty lowered himself and sat down next to Bill to worship with him. The church was silent with emotion, and when the minister gained control, he said, "What I am about to preach, you will never remember. What you have just seen, you will never, never forget." Now, compared to the things that Paul endured, you know, you're not saying much about what this old man did, but for this old man to do what he did was every bit as significant for that young man at that moment. Everyone, I'm sure, and even as I read the story the first time, was thinking, I wonder what this guy is going to say to him. You know, get up. You can't do this. You know? And I'm sure a lot of people in the sanctuary that morning thought the same thing. But that man went and did something very unusual and very much probably out of character for him. Dropped his cane, and he sat with that man. He sat with Bill because Bill was worth it. And I want to say to you, there are a lot of people in our community that are worth it. And maybe they'll show up here one day. Maybe they won't. But regardless, we have been given something that they need, God's compassion. And every day, if we have our eyes open and our ears open as well, we might see an opportunity where we can share compassion with someone who desperately needs it. I want to say to you, my confession to you all is that I'm able to stand here today because of God's compassion. I've experienced quite often his compassion since arriving here that enables me to continue to walk with the Lord, to serve him, to serve you. Every opportunity that we have to show compassion, we ought to do it. Now, we might not even realize that we're doing it, but a kind word, a smile, a handshake, a hug, you and I have no idea what that person that we just greeted could possibly need or what they're going through. But making ourselves available for the next person, and maybe even literally bending over backwards for them, can make all the difference in a person's life. We want to do, like this church in the story, we really want to reach people, but we're not always sure how to do it. How about just loving them? How about just being kind? How about just expressing the same compassion that God continually shows to us and pours out on us to show it to others? You see, because every person that we can meet is worth the cost, whatever the cost might be. And I think that if we are people who continually open ourselves to God and say, Lord, what do you have in mind for me today? I have to say, anytime I've ever prayed that in a day, God has always given me an opportunity, a conscious opportunity, to touch somebody. You and I have that opportunity. God will lay them before us if we would just pray and seek him. Remember the compassion that he's shown you and go and practice that. And God will make a difference. Just have to be willing to go there, to pay the cost, to believe that there is something of quality, of power in the compassion of God, how it has changed your life and my life, and how it continues to do so, and how it can do the same for others. Let's pray. Amen. Thank you for listening.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given. Compassion to everyone you can this week. Have a blessed week. I love you.